to Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Welcome back, podcast world. I'm your host, Rasta Jeff. This is episode 873 of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. You know, I've got another fun episode lined up for us. In today's podcast, I'm going to give away free seeds. Hang out, we'll talk more about those free seeds later on in today's show. Before we jump into the question and answer portion of today's podcast, I want to talk about something that I noticed while I was watering my own garden. I recently turned on the water and I got a very strong bleach sort of a smell coming from my local tap water. What I realize is it is now the springtime and they have changed the municipal water to the spring treatment. Most of the municipal water plants will change how they treat the water based on the season. They recently upgraded or updated to the spring seasonal treatment in my water treatment area. So my water does smell different, which means my pH is different, my EC is different, the PPMs of my water are different. So if you're one of those people that water your plants, if you mix your nutrients based on memory, if you're like, if I use this many mils of this and this much of this product and mix this much shit together, then I need 7 drops of pH down. Right now, you may need to adjust your schedule, adjust your mix. Give that a little bit of a check. Just give yourself a heads up. Set yourself up for success and check the pH of your final mix. Maybe even check the pH of the water coming out just for shits and giggles for scientific reasons. Then check the pH of your mix and see if you do need to adjust your mix and your habits and or your strategies in any way, shape, or form. Because I did notice a strong aroma of bleach and I noticed my pH was a little bit different. So I did have to make adjustments to my regular habits. My regular mixing pattern did need to get adjusted. So I recommend you check on yours so we don't make any mistakes. If your plants are looking weird, if they look like shit, possibly you have fed them something that was a little too rich, maybe a little bit too hot. We might want to check on the pH of that final solution. All right, that is my public service announcement here to start this episode. I did say that I'm going to give away free seeds. How do we do that? I have a website. That website is iregenetics.com. On the top of that website, there's a row of tabs. One of those tabs does say Grow Help or Grow Questions. If you click on that tab, you are given the opportunity to send me a good grow question. If you send me a good grow question and I read your question here on the podcast, I will send you a coupon code for a free pack of seeds on my vending website, iredirect.com. Today's first question from that Grow Help tab did come from somebody who wants to be called Rhino. Big shout out to my new friend Rhino. Hey Rhino, make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. The question from my new friend Rhino goes a lot like this. It says, does transplanting up, going from 1 gallon to 3 gallon to 5 gallon fabric pots, why not just leave it in the pot instead of taking it out? The roots grow through the pot and it doesn't seem to slow the growth. I know cutting roots makes more roots. What is better? Thank you, Rasta Jeff. So what this person is asking about, I always recommend going in graduated pot sizes if that's possible for your grow space. What I mean by that is we start off with our clone or our seedling. Don't put that in a 7-gallon pot. Put that in a beer cup or a 4-inch net pot or a 6-inch pot. Put that in a smaller pot. Be more economical with your space, your soil, your water. It's more cost effective. And then I recommend once that plant gets root bound or close to root bound in that container, graduate to the next size. I go from the small pot to the 1 gallon, then into a 3, maybe a 5. I don't do much up potting after that, but I would go incrementally instead of just going from the small to the giant pot. There are several reasons for that. It controls the root growth a little bit. I like a nice kind of, I like it when it just starts to get tight in that container. When you put it into the next container, it really explodes. Also, you don't have to take up as much space. If you're only running a tiny, tiny plant, a 7-gallon pot takes up a lot of space. And space is one of the most valuable things for any kind of cultivator or farmer. So you don't need as much space. You don't need as much water because you don't have to water that big volume of a pot. You don't need as much nutrients because you're not using as much water. And it's easier to maintain the water and not overwater that plant when it is in a smaller pot. So I recommend graduating up to pot size. This listener or viewer asked, why not, if we're using a fabric pot, why not just leave that plant in the fabric pot and drop it in the soil into the next size up? My answer is most of the time when you use the word just, you know you're doing it wrong. If you say, why don't you just, that is the lazy way out. That is the, you know there's a better way. You're doing it just fine, just good enough. why don't you do it the right way instead of doing it just good enough to get by? That is my theory here, and I'm not trying to discredit you or discount you or anything. You're asking me why I don't do it, because it's going to be much healthier and much more effective for those plants. And it seems sort of lazy to just drop that plant in there. I would take it out of that fabric pot, set that pot aside, rinse it, scrub it out, use it again in the future, and then just place that soil into that whole plant into your next size up. I don't see any benefit in using that original pot. Yes, the roots will grow through it, but they're going to have to fight to grow through it. Don't you want them to grow and expand and fill that next container and be robust, or do you want them to have to fight? That's like packing your soil way too tight. It's like putting up a gate. It's like saying, yeah, there's more soil over there. Good luck, fucker. Try to get to that. I would rather just take that off and let those roots expand freely. When I take that first pot off, I actually stick my fingers in there and crunch those roots up and break them up a little bit to encourage that outward growth. So I take off that pot. The start of this is when you say just, that's always, you know, you're doing, why don't you just do it this way? You could just do it the lazy way, or you could do it the right way. You could just stick with the right way and do what you know is right. Set yourself up for success. Let those roots grow. Take off that pot. Let them grow. Also, I imagine you're going to get, especially if you do multiple layers of this, you're going to get watering issues. That fabric pot's going to hold water. It's going to start to get algae or mold building up in that pot. I just don't like the idea of having that fabric pot buried under my soil. It doesn't sit right with me when I could have just taken it off and done it the right way. So, encourage the root growth by taking that off of there. Recycle the pot by taking that off of there. Let them grow freely by taking it off. And avoid watering issues by just taking it out of that pot. Let me read to make sure I got this right. We got this one right. My dude Rhino, thank you for the good, mind-inspiring question. Make sure you check your inbox, because like I said, you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Let's keep this party moving. I do have another great question here in front of me. This one came from our friend who wants to be called Sticky. What's up, Sticky? It's really, I know a lot of people who call themselves Sticky in the cannabis industry. Shout out to my new friend, Sticky. Sticky, check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds from iredirect.com. This question says, hey, Rasta Jeff, I love the content and the genetics. Thank you, bro. I do appreciate that. I love making great genetics for the community that you guys can grow successfully. And then it feels like it's my duty to come help you grow them once I put those out. So thank you for noticing. It says, I'm having issues with my reservoir staying at the right pH level. So this person has a reservoir that they fill with water, and then probably it sounds like they're putting their nutrient solution in there, and they're keeping that nutrient solution for a period of time. It does not indicate that here. It says, it keeps fluctuating every time I go to feed. I check, and my pH has gone up. Why am I having to pH my water every 2 days? I'm using, okay, they explain what they're using. I stopped adding silica, and that's not going to help. Can you possibly explain? Yes, I've got a couple of great solutions about your solution here. So this person has a reservoir. I've talked about this. They've got a reservoir. They're putting their nutrients in there so that they can feed probably some sort of a hydroponic system throughout the week, and they're checking that pH every 2 days. Maybe they're scooping water up. I don't know. They got water and nutrients in a tank, pre-mixed, ready to rock. And they're saying every 2 days when they check, the pH is fucked up. There are a couple of reasons for this. The first reason is general evaporation. The water is evaporating. I don't know. And this is where I have a question. This one, you can just fill in the gaps on your own. If you're using any kind of hydroponic system, if this reservoir is being pumped to anything, and then being returned or just drained to waste. So there's water being pumped out. If it is a return system, some of that water is evaporating. Some of that water is being eaten by the plants or being absorbed and taken up by the plants. So the water is evaporating and being absorbed by the plants. Now what's happening is inside your reservoir, that salt is not evaporating. Some of the salts are being eaten by the plant, but you've got some of the water being eaten and evaporation. So that evaporation, your water level is going down, but the salt level is staying there because the salts do not evaporate. Your total dissolved solids will go up because there's less water, the same amount of salt. Your ratio is just changing based on that little bit of evaporation. That is my assumption. My other assumption is whatever you're using for your pH or pH down is not stable. Are you using the bottled pH up and pH down products they sell at the store, or are you using something different, or are you pHing at all? You sounds like you are. But my main assumption, main thing is going to be evaporation. That water is evaporating over two days. You might be losing just very little. You might be losing quite a bit of water. I don't know your situation, but that water is evaporating. The water level is changing, and the salts are not evaporating. They're staying right there. So that is what is changing. Also, give it a good stir. I would recommend putting some sort of a stir pump in that tank at all times. Don't aerate it. Don't put oxygen in there. That's not what I would do. I would stir it. Just drop like a fish tank pump that's designed to a fountain pump is what I'm talking about. A pump that's just going to move the water. Just suction cup it to the side, blowing off to one side. That way it's just pulling the water from one side to the other. If you got a reservoir that's a trash can, or it'll just stir it around that way for you. Keep that water moving. Keep those nutrients moving. That will help. But I think a lot of it is evaporation. Also, depending on what nutrients you're mixing together, some of these things may be binding and or falling out of solution. Stirring will help with that, but the binding can't be prevented with some things. That's why these products are sold in separate bottles. Some things should not be mixed together because they will chemically bond together. They will sink to the bottom. That will affect your pH. That will affect everything. Those nutrients are slowly changing into other compounds over time in that solution. Honestly, I don't have the organic chemistry knowledge to tell you exactly what's happening there, but I think I said it close enough. You guys, correct me. Educate me. I'm not afraid to be educated, updated, corrected. That's what the comment section is for. Let me know. Am I missing something? But it could be evaporation. It could be because the plants are simply eating it. It could be because chemical bonding is happening inside of this reservoir. What did I write down? The water is being used and evaporating. The salts don't evaporate. The EC and the pH will change based on the evaporation. Also, it could be bonding. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it. My dude, Sticky, I've got your email address here. Make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. Now is the time in the podcast where I remind everybody, click like and subscribe. That's right. If you like this podcast, click like. If you want more, click subscribe. It's free. It's all it's going to take. Click like and subscribe. All right, we've got some good momentum going. We're answering a lot of questions. This one's got a lot of notes written onto it. This one came from my new friend. I'm not sure how to pronounce your name. I'll say it twice. This came from my friend Haj, or this one came from my new friend Hi. I'm not sure how to say it, but I hope I got it right one of these times. The question, check your inbox for your free seeds at iredirect.com. This question says, first, let me say, Rasta Jeff, you do a wonderful show. Thank you. I'm having fun on this episode. It says, very informative. Keep up the great work. Thank you, bro. I will. I'm on a roll. It says, now, to my questions, what is a natural fade? When does it actually occur? And if I don't do a flush before chop, will the plants naturally fade, or does the flush aid in the fading process? I'm just looking to understand this amazing plant a little better. This is a very good question. Let's talk about what this person means by a fade. When you're growing your ganja plants, you may notice that in the final weeks, right before you cut that plant down, your leaves will begin to change colors. There's a few reasons for this, which I will discuss or try to cover. But those leaves change colors. That is the fade. When it goes from whatever color it started as, was it bright green? Was it lime green? Was it dark green? Were they maybe sort of black? Did they fade off and go yellow? Did they turn a little bit of orange? Did you get some maroonish colors in there? Did you get bright, bright yellows? Did those black-leaved plants, did they start to turn a little bit red on you? That is a fade. That is the natural fade. That is what this listener and or viewer is asking about. What is the natural fade? When does it actually occur? It occurs at the end, and it could be it is part of senescence. It's part of the plant ending. It's part of maybe the plant ripening, which we're going to talk about that in a little bit here. It could be from a lot of different things, and I wrote down a big list of things that could cause the fade. Sometimes it will happen. Sometimes it will not happen. Sometimes it's genetic. Sometimes it's environment. I've got a big list of what we'll talk about, but I'm going to jump right into my notes. It says, I don't think that fade is too important. Fade doesn't matter to me. Fade is, it's beautiful. It's colorful. If I want to take really good photographs, if I want to get likes on Instagram, if I want a room that looks good for the internet, fade is beautiful. But as a consumer, as a smoker, as a grower, as somebody who has to, I touch the plant all the way through. I fucking pop the seed. I plant them. I grow them. I trim them. I smoke them. Fade doesn't really do a lot other than, like I said, for the camera. Fade is best for visual. That's all it really does. It will indicate things. It can show you stuff by looking at those leaves. You can say, maybe if it's fading early, you can say, I'm nitrogen deficient. I got to fucking start stepping up my nutrients. If you see something happening too soon, that fade can indicate things. But most of the time, it's just the plant saying, hey, it's time for me to end. And a lot of times it's saying, I am out of nitrogen. So if you've been, if you're one of the people that believe in a strong flush, that's controversial to me. I don't flush. But if you're a flushing kind of person, then that fade will show you that your flushing has been effective. Basically, the fade can mean a lot of things. I'll talk about that. But the fade isn't too important to me. I'm not smoking the leaves. That's why the fade doesn't matter. I'm going to cut all that faded shit off. Whether it's bright green, whether it's dark green, whether it's faded yellow, whether it's purple, I'm going to trim it off. I'm not smoking the leaves. I'm going to smoke the buds, and I'm mainly going for trichomes is what we're after. We want ripe trichomes. That's my next note. Or earlier, if you're making hash, you want to cut it down just a little bit earlier. So the fade has a lot of different, a lot of people have a lot of different ideas about the fade. The fade could be, it's just basically senescence. All the plants outside are fading too, because they know that their time is up. We're growing an annual plant. It knows I'm only going to go for one season, and then it's time to go. I'm going to use up all my resources, all my energy. I'm going to go once, and then at the end, I might put on a good fade. So what can affect your fade? The feed. Have you been feeding heavily? If you've been feeding enough, you probably, if you've been feeding too much, you won't even see a fade possibly. And like I said before, the fade isn't 100% necessary. It happens sometimes, it happens, sometimes it doesn't. I've noticed different times of year based on the weather, my indoor crops may fade more or less than my other crops. My summer crop, it gets real hot. Here in Colorado, it's harder to get the room cooler, not as much colors. The crop happening now, it's a little bit colder, colorful as all hell. So feed could be a big difference in your fade. If your plants have eaten a lot, they're not going to fade as much. They just might not fade because they're eating. You're feeding them nitrogen, they're going to be bright green. You might prevent the fade that way. Lighting can change, can affect your fade. Spectrum, intensity, distance, duration, all of those things can affect your fade. If you're putting super bright LEDs really close to the light, they're going to pale out at the end. They're just going to get more yellow. They're going to... the next thing, temperature of the room. Is it cold? Is it hot? Those things can affect your fade. You'll notice that colder rooms will get more colorful leaves. Also, swings. How hot is it during the day? How cold is it at night, or vice versa? Those things will make a difference on the fade. The humidity. Wet and dry. I know it sounds wild, but that wet and dryness, the VPD in there is going to have an effect on the color of your leaves. That is going to have a huge effect. Swings in temperature, humidity, and VPD overall will have a huge effect on the colors and the fade of your plants. Here's something you might not even think about. Water temperature. The water that you're feeding that plant, how warm or how cold is that water temperature? If you're feeding those plants cold temps, you're going to get colorful leaves. That is a protector of the plant. It'll spit out those anthocyanins. It'll get nice and purple and try to protect itself. What about drybacks? The opposite. Drybacks may also affect your color and or the lack thereof your color. What about pot size? You might not even think about pot size. What if your plants are root bound? They might start fading earlier if they're root bound. They'll say, hey, I'm fucking root bound. I don't know what to do. I'm just going to finish out. Fuck eating. Fuck drinking. I'm done with this. I am just going to finish out. Sometimes your plants are, they're locked out. You've been feeding them way too much. Maybe your pH is off. Those plants are going to start fading even more quickly because they cannot eat. So a fade is not always a good sign. Sometimes it's saying, hey, I'm hungry. You got to fix an issue. Help me the fuck out here. What else do I have written down? Oh, the most important thing, genetics. Some plants just will not fade. Like if you run Lemon Jeffrey, it goes from green to yellow. That's all you get. Just green, bright green, then yellow. If you run Afterglow, that bad bitch will go from dark green to light yellow to bright pink to orange to fucking brown. Like, so it's genetics. And let's talk about the cream. If you get a cut of the cream, that bad bitch will turn black on you toward the end, and then it will start to fade like these reddish cool colors, the dark hollow cut going on. It starts a bright green, fades to black at the end. So it's all about genetics. Some of the things, the orange gasm doesn't fade a lot of colors. It goes bright green to just yellow. You could tell you're like, oh, that bitch is yellow. Just right at the end, yellow, she's done. Sometimes you'll get an orange, a couple of orange colors, some bright orange hues out of that orange gasm, but that's a rare one. That also comes with pink pistils. So if you see those golden colored leaves, look for the pink pistils or pay attention to both of those. But a lot of it is genetics, and a lot of it is just how you're feeding the plant and environmental. I don't find a fade to be important. It's really beautiful, like I said before. I like it for taking photos and shit. But what is a natural fade? That is when the plant starts to use up all of its resources. It starts to naturally senesce and it starts to change colors just like the plants outside. It's done. It's an annual plant. It's only supposed to go so many weeks and that plant knows it. So it's going to start fading. When does it naturally occur? That is going to be plant specific. That can be affected by your environment and your feed. This guy said, I don't do a flush. Will the plants naturally fade? They might. Depending on the genetics, depending on what you're feeding, they just might. If you're overfeeding something, they might not, but that is very plant and genetic and phenotype specific. All right, my dude, I hope I said your name correctly at some point. It's H-A-J, and I'm not sure how to pronounce that. Haj, hi, hey. Either way, my dude, thank you for the great question. Make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. All right, we've been going pretty fast here. I think we've got time for at least one more good question. Ladies and gentlemen, I do have time to give a couple of shout-outs to a few of the great folks who support the show on Patreon. That's right, I do have a Patreon campaign. Let's send a big thank you shout-out to my friend Shorty. Let's send a huge thank you shout-out and a special congratulations to my friend Jessica K. Jessica's been taking great care of herself, and I can see the progress. Big shout-out and a fist bump for that. Big shout-out to my buddy Oki Braden. Bro, I saw a picture of a guitar that you made as a musician. That is freaking beautiful and impressive. You made a fucking instrument, dude, and it's gorgeous. Also, great work. Big shout out to my buddy Frogman420. And then let's wrap this all up with the big Grow From Your Heart podcast. Thank you. Shout out to my buddy ADHD Grower, one of my favorite growers and one of my favorite cannabis photographers. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not already supporting the show on Patreon, all you have to do is visit www.patreon.com/growfromyourheart. All of the information you need will be right there on the screen. Once again, big thanks and big shout out to everybody who does support the podcast. All right, let's ride this good momentum. I've got another good question here in front of me. This one came from our friend Dan. Shout out to Dan. Thank you for having an easy name to say. This question said, hey man, I'm a new listener and I enjoy your podcast. Well, thank you, bro. Thanks for joining the show. Make sure you click like and subscribe and don't forget about the Patreon server. The question says, my question is about re-veg clones. All right, this is a popular question. This comes up from time to time. It says, essentially cuttings that are taken from a flowering plant and put under a veg lighting cycle. Yes, that is very popular. It said, are there any downsides to this process that you know of besides the extra time that it takes to get these things to revert to fresh leaf growth? Are there any downsides using re-veg clones? Okay. Now, then he talks about breeding. No, just as long as you let everything grow out of the, let the hormones readjust and get back to normal veg state and get back to the normal leaves and give it some time, there's no downside to breeding with these. Let me touch on the question here. What this person wants to do, what I think they want to do, they've got a plant. They've put this plant into flower, but they did not take clones. I always recommend take a clone from every plant before you flower it. Sometimes that is not an option. I understand that. We're going to hit this water here because my voice is starting to fry out, but just bear with me. We're not even going to edit this. So my new friend Dan has a plant and they want to take clones from a plant that is in flower. I don't know how long into flower it is, but this practice will work. You could do this all the way through flower if you really want to, and it will re-veg. The further into flower you do this, the more time it will take for that plant to re-veg, but anything is possible. So they've got a plant, it's in flower, they want to take clones. Cuttings that are taken from a flowering plant and put under a veg lighting cycle. So they're going to cut these clones, either put it in a dome or put it in an easy cloner, and they're going to use my cloning SOP that I put up on my Discord server, and I will talk about that cloning SOP in the future. I want to go over the SOP, maybe update it, then we'll do a full podcast about it. But that is coming. Thank you for the response about that. These clones are called monster clones, or monster cropping is what this is known as. When you take a clone from a flowering plant and put that in the cloner, that is called a monster clone or monster cropping. That's what I think that's called. That's what I've always called it. So this is a very useful practice. Yes, this is very useful. Like I said, you could do this at any point in the flowering phase. The earlier, the better, because the longer you wait, the longer it's going to take to re-veg. But yes, you can do this. Essentially cutting, yeah, that's possible. Are there any downsides? The downside is that if that clone does not successfully root and re-veg, you don't have a backup plan. You'll have to re-veg the big plant, which is still possible, depending on how long you waited. But that is the downside, is that you don't have a safety net if this clone does not work. That's really the only downside there, is that you're risking not having that genetic preserve. And that's why I take clones before I put shit into flower. I wait till I've got roots, then I flower it. But no downside there. Can there be downsides to using re-veg clones to breed with? No, as long as you let everything grow out and let all the hormones get back to their normal, let them adjust to their growing back in veg and you don't see any signs of flower, and then wait maybe even one more week, then no, there's no downside to this. All right, my friend Dan, thank you for the great question. Make sure you check your inbox because you've got a coupon code for a free pack of seeds at iredirect.com. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pimps and hoes, friends and foes, smokers, growers, clone cutters, pollen chuckers, all of you beautiful cannabis enthusiasts out there, I want to thank each and every one of you for listening to a quick episode of the Grow From Your Heart podcast. My voice is getting tired, so it is time for me to wrap up this podcast. Make sure you guys check out my website, iregenetics.com. On that website, there is a link to everything you could possibly need. There's a link to my Discord server. Come join us on Discord. You can hang out in the Smokers Lounge chat, ask me personal questions, ask me grow questions. Don't ask too personal of a question in there, but come hang out in the Smokers Lounge chat, ask me questions personally is what I meant to say. There are a lot of cool people in there that have grown a lot of iRe genetics in there. Also, there's a tab for every strain that I put out. You can go look at grow and smoke reports from other people's experience. Join us on the Discord. There's a link to iRe Direct. That is where you get the seeds. Check iredirect.com for current stock. There may be cuts up there. There may be new seeds up there. You never know what could happen at iredirect.com. The best way to stay updated is to join the newsletter. If you scroll down on iregenetics.com, you'll see a tab that says Stay Up to Date. Type in your email address. That will keep you updated. Every time I do a sale, a flash drop, or something like that, I will send you a message and let you know new shit is coming. Also on the website, you will notice a link to the AC Infinity website. If you use that link and then use coupon code IREARMY at checkout, you will save 10% on your entire AC Infinity purchase on all qualifying items, with the big disclaimer: they can make decisions and changes at any time. All right, that is my advertising. That is my thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, thank you once again for listening to another episode. I'll be back in a week with fresh new content. I want to give a big shout out to everybody who took a second out of their day to send me some birthday love. Big thanks. I appreciate you. And until next time, take a fat dab and give your mom a hug for me.
Rasta Jeff, you bad motherfucker.
Time to take another dab. Grab your piece and then I go find the bag. Rasta Jeff is in the lab. Sit back, poke your mom, and relax.
Hold up. Roots and wisdom start to show. From the knowledge seeds we grow. Tune in now to hear the vibe. Rasta Jeff in our conscious tribe. He spreads the truth in every word. Every voice must now be heard. Healing light through cannabis. Grow from your heart, cure bliss. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your heart every day. In the light we stand real strong. Join the movement, sing the song. Natural medicine and love flows within us like a dove. Educate and elevate. Join the journey, don't be late. Open minds to see the truth. In the soil lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden find the new. Rise up higher, find your way. Grow from your hearts every day. In the light we stand real strong. Join the truth. loyal lies the proof. Rasta Jeff will guide you through. In this garden, find the new. Rise up higher, find your